Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Get Yourself the Job with Jennifer Hill, only on LA Talk Radio.
Hello, and welcome to Get Yourself the Job. My name's Allison Garrido, and I'm hosting today while Jennifer's traveling. I'm a career coach, and I'm lucky enough to regularly contribute to Get Yourself the Job through Mock Interview Mondays and interviews with Jennifer. It's such a pleasure to be here with you today, and Jennifer will be back next week. So today, I am joined by Courtney Pelletieri. Courtney's a magazine editor who worked on the titles In Style, Town and Country, and Good Housekeeping. As an entertainment director, she secured celebrities for the magazine's covers and inside stories, in addition to working on entertainment partnerships. Before magazines, Courtney worked at E! Entertainment, segment producing celebrity coverage for the Pop Culture Channel, as well as covering film festivals and traveling with talent to cool places like Papua New Guinea and South Africa. So she might be the one we check with for travel tips. When Courtney first moved to LA, she worked on features publicity at Paramount Pictures on movies like Titanic and Election. Now, she's focusing on creating a video podcast called Walk a Mile. In that podcast, she interviews inspiring women about their career paths. When she's not hustling, Courtney spends her time with her husband, three kids, and rescue dog Sam. She loves to read, binge watch TV, and discover the best hikes in Los Angeles. Courtney, we are so thrilled to have you today. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you. This is really fun.
Absolutely. Great. Well, we're pleased to have you. And I'm particularly interested in you have a rich career yourself that's been so interesting and fascinating. And I can't wait to talk more about it. But first, I want to talk about the inspiring women that you interview in your podcast. So your podcast is called Walk a Mile. Could you tell us a little bit? And I should say it's soon to be released. So it'll be 2017 release of the podcast. But the video podcast is in production now. So tell us a little bit about it.
So it's Walk a Mile, basically coming from Walk a Mile in Your Shoes. So I'm talking to really inspiring women, and we're actually walking a mile in their shoes. So we're going to their homes, walking around their neighborhoods, seeing where they walk. It kind of, originally this idea came to me when I started working at InStyle magazine and I got a job securing celebrities for the cover. And I thought, like, is this really a job that exists? Like, mm-hmm. This is a super cool job. It's something I didn't study in college. I had no idea it was out there. And I got into the job and it was really great. And I thought, you know, it would be really inspiring for other women to find out, like, what are jobs that are out there? Whether you're getting your job for the first time, you're pivoting into something new, like, what are jobs that are out there? Who's actually doing them? What do you have to do to get this job? Mm-hmm. What does your job look like on a day-to-day basis? Who's your mentor? Who are you mentoring? Just all those questions that I am really interested in. And, you know, working in a magazine as a reporter, I like to ask a lot of questions. Right. And I feel like, you know, my friends make fun of me at dinner parties, like, oh, we can tell you've had a couple of drinks because you're starting to ask us all these questions.
Because you're usually holding them in, I'm exactly. Sure. Right? That's when it comes out. You can finally ask those things deep down.
Right. My husband will probably say I'm asking questions all the time. But yes. So really the inspiration for this was, you know, let's talk to all these. Again, I keep using the word inspiring because that's really what I want to do with this video podcast is inspire other women. Like, who are these? We have so many great women among us and they're doing really cool things. What are those cool things and how can you do them? And I'm at a point in my life right now where I'm doing a career pivot and I thought, what better time than now to kind of talk to all of these women? And the idea too, why it's Walk a Mile is, like, let's say someone in Minnesota where it's really cold, they want to go jogging on their treadmill and they want to watch these inspiring women, and they can watch us in sunny Southern California seeing kind of the actual path where we're walking. So that's the Walk a Mile in Her Shoes.
That's great. And I'm always talking about career paths. So the career path and walking a mile definitely dovetail nicely together. Right. It's such an amazing idea. I think that we end up taking for granted that all these things happen around us, right? Like, we walk into a beautiful building in downtown Los Angeles and take for granted that it's just naturally a beautiful building. And we don't think about the people behind the scenes, or there's a person that designed this building. There's right. a person that picked out that desk and that chair and how important that is to the overall feel of something. Or, like you've seen on television shows or in magazines, there are these things that kind of magically appear on our doorstep. Right. And we don't don't look at that one page, right?
With, yeah.
I mean, you'd know how many, probably 100 names on that page of people that it took to make it happen.
Right,
so
right.
I can imagine you've seen a lot of people that, you know, you would never imagine had the jobs that they had.
Yeah. And just to your point, yeah, the details that go into that, say on a cover shoot, like it's one person's job to make a wall of flowers, mm-hmm. to make a flower crown. But I think too, like any job can be interesting if you ask the right questions. I feel like everyone has a really interesting path that got them to where they are, and to ask those questions and to figure it out, especially, as I said, for me right now, or anyone who's looking for a job for the first time or making a pivot into something else, like you just really kind of want all that knowledge. Like, what do you actually do all the time? How mm-hmm. did you get there? What's interesting about that? Is it something I would want to do?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And you're working with someone to create the show. Tell us about your partner. How did you end up working with her?
I am. So actually, strangely enough, her husband and I went to college together, and our kids are in school together now. We live down the street from one another, and she's actually an Emmy winning producer from the Dr. Phil show.
Oh, wow.
And so, yes, yeah, so we're working together on the podcast, kind of coming up with it. She's the video person. So as I walk the mile with these people, she's kind of running along beside us, getting her workout in.
And then
we're putting it together. And I think I really like having a partner to do it with, because it kind of keeps you honest. There's mm-hmm. someone like she and I can check in with each other and talk to each other and say, okay, who are we going to put on the show? When do we need to do this? We were just talking this morning about deadlines and when are we going to get this person done? When are we working on this person? And kind of how are we going to make all of that work?
Mm-hmm.
And I think I work really well having another person to be held accountable with.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it just, so how did you met her through your relationship with her husband?
Yeah. So, well, it's funny and a long story, I guess. Like I went to college with her husband. We were at something for the school, and I look over and I thought, oh, that guy looks really familiar. And it was, I had gone to college with him. We said, hey, he said, oh, my kids are starting here next year. And so he introduced me to his wife. We kind of hit it off, and she, like me, has three kids. And we were kind of just talking about different ideas of things that we like and things we enjoy. And we both love podcasts so much. And mm-hmm. we kind of are obsessed with podcasts. And we thought, maybe there's something we can do with this. Maybe there's something out there podcast wise that we can put together. And I had always had this idea in the back of my head about something, you know, originally I called it Who Knew This Job Existed, because it was really about these kind of cool jobs. So we kind of beat that around a little bit and kind of made it into Walk a Mile. And here
That's
we are.
Wonderful. Yeah. Yeah, you created something that had been swimming in the back of your mind. And I asked you about your relationship and how you've met her, because I think people have so much trouble giving their networks the credit they deserve,
right,
and trusting that, you know, this will happen, or this is something that I know that I want to move forward with. And then the stars kind of align. And
right.
But it's about putting yourself out there and knowing that this is someone you want to talk to, or making sure you're maintaining those relationships and talking to the people that you run into, because you just never know who's, you know, friend's brother-in-law will be your partner in a business, or your
absolutely
your long-lost, what's called colleagues? What do you call colleagues when they're in school? The name escapes me. Classmate.
Yeah.
So a classmate that you hadn't seen in a long time.
Right.
Who knew that his wife would be your partner? It's amazing
yeah.
how these connections just continue to help you grow.
I know. And I've never read The Secret or have watched The Secret, but I do feel when you kind of throw something out there and it's something you talk about. And I feel like for she and I, like the more I talk about it to other friends, they come up with ideas like, oh, someone told me the other day about someone who's like, she's called like a sexual intuitive.
Oh, okay.
And I thought like, oh, that's a really cool job. Mm-hmm. And if I wouldn't talk to her about our video podcast, I never would have heard about that. So again, it's just when you throw something out there and you kind of push it out there, then it does kind of stick and people mm-hmm. come, they want to help you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. People are so willing to help. And that person didn't, I'm sure when you brought it up, they didn't think, oh, Courtney's asking me for a favor.
Right.
Your mind just goes to, oh, I'm going to help. I have this thing that I can offer, and
yeah.
I'd love to make this connection. So
right.
it's amazing how fruitful a network can be.
Absolutely.
So tell us about who are the guests on your show, upcoming or
yeah,
past guests?
So we have someone who is a VP in film publicity at Fox. That's kind of the first one that we did. And she is, I will say, she is one of my she's my best friend. So she's someone who I know very well. But I find her job very cool. And it's kind of, you know, when you were talking earlier about you walk into a building, and you don't realize how beautiful it is and kind of what it takes to get there. I think what's so interesting is so many jobs that can seem really amazing from the outside and they seem so glamorous. And what I love too is like, yes, some of these jobs are really glamorous, but there's a whole side of it that is not so glamorous. Like, mm-hmm. she tells this funny story about they're waiting for some celebrity to come in to do a meeting, and someone looks in the toilet and realizes it's not clean. So then they find themselves cleaning the toilet.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, on one instance, you're, you know, kind of walking the red carpet at the Academy Awards. The next minute, you're cleaning the toilet at the same spot.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. I have a close friend who's in post-production and visual effects specifically. Mm-hmm. And I remember, you know, that's a neat, you think visual effects, it's explosions, it's, you know, big monumental King Kong type things. And then as that person kept moving forward in their role, it was not a lot of explosions. It was a lot of making someone look a little slimmer or fixing a blemish. Or if a show's supposed to be in Chicago but there's a palm tree, they're erasing the palm tree. And I remember hearing, like, this job is not as sexy as you think it would be.
Right, right.
But it's still a job that someone needs to do, right? Yeah. It would take you completely out of a show if you mm-hmm. saw a palm tree in Chicago.
Right.
It's not always as glamorous as we'd right. like to believe.
Right. And some parts of it are glamorous, and that's really great. But it's also good to know that it's not always glamorous, because then it just doesn't seem as daunting.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I could do this too. What do I need? What kind of skills do I need to be able to do this job?
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, so she's our first one that we talk to. And so she does features publicity, and she has some really great stories to tell. And other people that we're kind of thinking of and talking to are, we have someone who's an equity partner about getting money, and she has a really great story. She's someone who, her parents, she grew up in kind of a not so nice part of Chicago. She ended up going to Harvard Business School and really kind of made it. So it's really, again, it's yes, the actual job that you do, but what was your journey to get there, and kind of what was your path along the way, and what pivots did you take?
Mm-hmm.
There's someone who I talked to today who, she makes chocolates for a living. So you know, she kind of had this lifelong goal to always want to make chocolates, and she did that. There's a wedding planner that we're talking to who does a lot of different celebrity weddings, so that to me is really cool.
That's fun.
Yeah.
That's fun. You know, last week I spoke with Kelly Watson, and we were talking about women at work and women in leadership, and we talked a little bit about women seeing other women, like the Sheryl Sandbergs or the mm-hmm. people that are, you know, not just a wedding planner, but a wedding planner to the celebrities, right?
Right.
And it can feel really intimidating to talk to those people or see that person on the stage, but they're just people. And I love that you're talking with them about the pivots that have happened in their career. And, you know, sometimes things don't work out the way you think they will.
Right.
But they work out.
Right, right, right. I love Sheryl Sandberg. She's a huge inspiration of mine.
Yeah. Yeah. And so tell me more about that. What's inspiring about her to you?
I think, you know, doing kind of a career pivot of my own right now, what I found very inspiring about her is she doesn't have this, like, linear approach to a career. Something that stuck with me about her book Lean In was when she got over to Facebook, someone called her and said, this is how I remember the story, but that someone called her and said, like, hey, I don't know exactly what I could do for you, but here are my skills and I really need a job. And she said, look, I know you've never done human resources, but I think you'd be really good at it. And she gave her that opportunity. And I think, like, being someone right now who's looking to do the next thing, it's really nice to say, like, I'm marketable, I'm good, here are the things that I'm good at, how can you use that? How can I help you solve the problems that you need to be solved?
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know that everyone looks at things that way, but I think that that's a really, it would be really great to work for people who do mm-hmm. work in that way.
Absolutely, absolutely. I think that there's more of a push now for people to not say, you know, you were a magazine editor, now you must be a magazine editor. It's more,
right.
What is your skill set? And even more than what is your skill set is, you know, you're a person at your level with the experience you've had, and you're clearly smart and amazing and could do the job, but are you a culture fit?
Right.
You know, do I want to sit next to you? If you're smart and amazing and experienced, you could probably do the job, but are you going to enjoy working on the team?
Oh, I remember one of my mentors early in the magazine business, my first magazine job was at InStyle. And my boss and I, my not boss at the time, but our first interview was having margaritas together.
Mm-hmm.
And I just fell in love with her because she was such an inspiration. She was just she had a great energy. But I remember her saying to me, like, look, I know a lot of people could do this job. I can teach a lot of people this job. But do I want to be around them all day? Is mm-hmm. it someone who as you said, are they going to fit in with everyone here? Are they going to get along with everyone? And do I want to invest my time in this person? And that's such an important piece of the puzzle of finding a job, because you end up spending more time with them sometimes than you do your own family. Mm-hmm. So you want to get along with them and feel like they have your back, and you want to have their back.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think so fondly of the amazing teams that I've been on, and I feel so lucky that I had that and I didn't have any, you know, tricky situations or, oh gosh, this was a job I left after a month and it was a bad fit, because I know it sometimes happens. And a lot of times it's experience that helps you determine what's what. But if when you have those amazing experiences, they really just stick with you and help inform your future career decisions.
I'm not saying there weren't ever tricky situations.
Exactly. Exactly. So as you were thinking about this podcast, why was it important that you look at women? And I know you're thinking a little bit about maybe it's specifically moms. So tell me more about that decision.
Yeah, I mean, when I first thought of it, I wasn't a mom at the time, but I still was thinking about women, because I just feel, I mean, I'm a woman and I think women should stick together. And I think that, you know, even, you know, you hear statistics right now about kids that are doing, like, girls that are doing coding. Mm-hmm. Around the age, I think, of, like, 9 years old, you lose them and they don't become coders anymore, and they desperately need women. And that's got to be the same in a lot of careers. Like, I have a really good friend, someone who we want to do the podcast with as well, and she's in technology. Mm-hmm. And she said there are so few women in what she does that she's one of the only women they ever come to talk to about things, because there are so few of her. Mm-hmm. And just how sad it is to get kind of women to be doing that. So I just think, I'm a woman. I want other women. I have a daughter. Mm-hmm. I want women to excel and succeed. I have two sons, so I, of course, want them to succeed as well. But the world is kind of set up for them a little bit more to succeed and not so much set up for women to succeed. And I think, too, it's just easier to hear another woman talking about it. And I think, so when I originally had the idea, it wasn't so much a mom, because I wasn't a mom. But now I am a mom, and I think it's the whole juggle thing. And I think that's another thing with, you know, Sheryl Sandberg talks about it in Lean In with the juggle. And I think that that has become, people look at it now and say, like, oh, the juggle. I hate when people ask that. They only ask moms and they don't ask dads. Mm-hmm. But I think it's a really true thing. And when I get together with girlfriends, and if they're moms, it always comes down to, how do you do the juggle? And it's not so much that I'm, like, looking at you to see what you're doing wrong. It's like, do you have any tips that you can give me that will help me do this well? Mm-hmm. And to help me feel like, maybe you have a life hack that I can hack onto and be doing it just as well as you're doing it. And let's kind of all feel that we're in this together. Mm-hmm. So that's, I think, why the mom angle, because that's what my friends and I talk about. How, mm-hmm. how are we doing this? How are we going to make it work? How could we be good moms, wives, mm-hmm. workers, all that stuff together?
Yeah. And support one another.
Exactly. Yeah.
So have one of your guests on the podcast solved the juggle? Do you have the answer for us?
No, I mean, I think the great thing about it is that we all can say that, like, there is no solvable thing. You know, like, there isn't going to be a solve, which I think even knowing that is good. Mm-hmm. There's no solve, and that's okay. Like, you can take it, you know, you can relax and mm-hmm. let your breath out and say, like, okay, so I'm not going to be perfect all the time. And mm-hmm. that's actually, mm-hmm. it's perfect to be imperfect.
Exactly. And there's people around you that you see that are doing a good job and that you admire. I love that you talk about, you know, getting information from people and not judging them or saying this person right. isn't doing anything right. You assume they are doing everything right and that they have something right. to share, and they have that hack that you might be able to latch
yeah,
on to.
Yeah. I think, too, there's this whole movement right now that I'm seeing, especially amongst my friends and just articles I'm reading, about it's okay to say that we're not doing it on our own. Mm-hmm. I think for a while, like, everyone really wanted to do it perfectly, be doing everything for your kids and for your husband and for your job, and to realize, like, it really does take a village. Like, there are so many people it takes to make that work.
Right.
And it's okay if you have to rely on a nanny to watch your kids, or your husband has to do a lot of the work, and you know, maybe someone else, you get your grocery shopping through Amazon Fresh, like, yeah. all these hacks that you can do, so we don't have to go out there and be doing everything. And that, I think, is really good to know when someone tells you, like, oh, I'm not the one who does that. Like, I'll be the first to say, like, I don't do the laundry in our house. Like, mm-hmm. if I did, I would probably be a much more frazzled person. Mm-hmm. And I don't think that everyone wants to admit that. But once one person does admit it, everyone else, like, oh, and I don't do this and I don't do that. Mm-hmm. Like, okay, that's great. That's good to know.
Right. Or maybe people are saying, oh, I do and I don't have to.
Right.
My goodness.
Yeah. Yeah.
Absolutely. That's such an important realization.
Right. Right.
Okay. Well, thank you for sharing so much with us about your podcast. I was excited today to flip the tables on you a little bit, because I think you are an amazing, inspiring woman with an interesting career path. And I'd love for people to learn a little bit more about what your path looked like, because like you've said, it's not linear and it doesn't have to be linear. And I know you've had some amazing opportunities and grown in your job and in your career so much. So I'd love to hear about what that looked like for you.
All right. I mean, I just kind of say I always stumbled upwards. Like I never really set out.
I love that.
I wish that I had, you know, my husband is a writer and he's always known that this is the one thing that I want to do. And if I don't do this, I won't be happy. And in some ways I feel like, gosh, like I don't have that one thing. But in some ways that's really freeing because to have that one thing, that's the only path that you can go down.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, I first moved out here shortly after college and I started working at Paramount Pictures and the Features Film Publicity Department. And I didn't really know that existed. And I talked to a friend at the time who did that. And I thought, that sounds really cool. That would be really fun. And I got an assistant job and I did that for a couple of years. And a mentor at the time said to me, like, you know, nothing was happening. Someone had to leave to be able to move up. And that just wasn't happening. So he said, you know, I think you'd be really good over at E! Entertainment. They're looking for someone. You're kind of switching to the other side of things. So you're no longer in film publicity. You're kind of working with the studios and the publicists. And I thought, all right. And I went over and interviewed there. And I don't think I really understood what the job is when I got into it, but it ended up being a really great job. I mean, at the time I didn't make a ton of money, but I got a lot of experience. Mm-hmm. I got to go to, you kind of said it in the intro, but I got to go to film festivals. We worked on this really cool show called Celebrity Adventures, where we would take a celebrity for 10 days. We went to Papua New Guinea, to South Africa, to Australia.
Wow.
I know. We would just kind of film it. And my job was easy because I would make sure we had the celebrity to go. And once we were there, like, just making sure that they were happy.
Don't lose any celebrities.
I know.
And you'll
don't,
be okay.
Don't lose them. Are they happy? Is everything going well? And but that was great. And I did that for a couple of years. And I thought, well, this would be fun. And I'd love to do this for a magazine. And I went to lunch with a friend and I said, you know, I want to do this, but for at a magazine, booking celebrities. And she said, oh, I don't think that really exists. Like, you need to be a writer or an editor. And although I was a broadcast journalism major in college, that hadn't been what I was pursuing. So I thought, all right. And I just kind of gave that up. But back to the secret type of thing, she called me about a month later. I can picture exactly where I was in New York for a junket for work. And she said, okay, I have the perfect job for you. You know how you said you wanted to do that? They're looking for someone like that at InStyle magazine.
Wow.
Which was a magazine that I loved. And that's when I then went to drinks with who became my boss. And she said, you know, this is what we're looking to do. Someone who can book celebrities, who has relationships with personal publicists, studio publicists, to put celebrities on the cover of the magazine and do inside stories. And if you end up, you know, writing and reporting down the line, that's great, and editing, but you don't have to have all of those skills.
Mm-hmm.
And then I did that for a while, and then I switched over to Good Housekeeping Magazine after about 7 years at InStyle. And then I also started working in another Hearst publication, which was Town and Country.
Mm-hmm.
And that takes us to now.
Wow.
in a nutshell.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting because I don't hear anything about you applying for jobs or, you know, kind of struggling with what is your next move. It seems like people saw that you were doing a good job and they almost had their eye out for you.
Yeah. No, I mean, yes, in a very good way. Yes. Uh-huh. I mean, my first, you know, what was probably the most pivotal jump for me was leaving from Paramount to go over to E! Because that's a spot where I could have stayed at a studio versus going to the other side being the press.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you're right. Like, I had a mentor who looked out for me and said, like, I think this is what would be a good move for you. I don't even think I saw myself at the time that I would be better on the other side.
Mm-hmm.
But he did. He saw that, you know.
That's great. Now, so all these relationships that kind of helped you along in your career, were they conscious decisions for you to cultivate those relationships?
I don't think so. I mean, I think I'm someone who, I have a friend who she jokingly always says, like, I'm a linker. And mm-hmm. I think, you know, that's definitely kind of more my personality to link people together. And I see you and I want to help you. And that's kind of how people do. So, no, I don't think. I mean, yes, I'm in a job where I have to book, I was in a job where I had to book celebrities for things, so I had to have those relationships, but I think I enjoyed them as well, and I think that's probably why I was good at it, because I wanted to build those relationships mm-hmm. with people.
Mm-hmm. I hear that so much. I hear people say, okay, I need to look for a new job, so I need to get my resume together. And oftentimes when I'll need to start to look on Indeed, and I say, well, how did you get the job that you have now? And it's almost always, oh, a friend.
Right.
But that's not what we think about when we think about looking for the next job. We've been conditioned to say resumes, online applications equal jobs. But most people, if you look around you, or if you look at your history, it's through the people that you know that those opportunities arise.
Yeah. No, I feel sometimes the opposite. Exactly. Like, I have to have my resume just because it, you know, it needs to be ready if someone asks for it.
Right.
but they're probably not even going to look at that. I mean, I've even had experiences on LinkedIn where I'll put my resume in for something, nothing happens. Mm-hmm. But then if I know someone who works at the company or a friend of a friend talks about it, then you immediately get the call mm-hmm. about the job. And, you know, it didn't go anywhere, unfortunately, via LinkedIn. But then because I knew someone, then you get called in for it.
It's unreal. And it's not unreal. It's the way things work.
Right.
It's not magic, but it's funny because people say, like you say, you stumbled upward, or people say, you know, I just got this job. It was just luck. And it's just because you're not consciously thinking about, I'm forging these relationships, I'm doing a good job, I'm using this to move forward, doesn't mean that doing a good job and being in front of people and keeping in touch doesn't help you move forward.
Right.
You talked about the women on your show, and you've talked about your mentor a little bit. It's so important to have people that are looking out for you to be a mentor, people that you can get advice from. My husband actually was at a big studio, and he was given the advice, you know, you have to leave to move up, just right. like you. And I remember saying to him, well, no, like, you are loyal and you stay at a company and you pay your dues. And that's oftentimes not how it works. And right. But he needed that mentor to give him that advice. How did your mentor come into your life, and what does that look like for you?
You know, it's interesting. I feel like I've had different mentors along the way, and typically, you know, as I said, my first mentor at Paramount, who I really sadly don't keep in touch with as much anymore. I mean, that just kind of happened because we worked on the same team, and he looked out for me, and we just ended up having a great relationship. And then my boss, probably at InStyle, who I would still consider my mentor, she's still the person who I call to say, like, you know, we do very similar things. So if I have something going on at work and it's a problem, I'll say, what do you think I should do about this? What do you, mm-hmm. And we, you know, can speak a very shorthanded language because we get what we're doing. And I think, you know, she was my boss, and I think that's very easy to have a mentor when they're your boss. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I mean, I guess I just kind of lucked into it in that way. But I think I've found other mentors as well. And maybe you don't even realize that they're mentors, but it's just people who you end up calling for different situations that you have, like certain people who maybe they know how to put together the perfect email. Mm-hmm. Someone else who knows how to, I need to follow up with this person. How can I do that? Like, there's just different people who kind of you can go to for different things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I remember when I was starting my business and creating my website, and I sent my website to 3 different people to edit. And I picked the people carefully because I knew that they were different kinds of people, but I wasn't sure exactly what they'd come back with. And like, one came back and had looked at all the grammar and fixed every little grammar thing. Another person noticed that color and spacing was off just a little bit. Another person had a comment about the headers, and it was just amazing to see, like, okay, now I know that if I ever need the grammar person, that's the person that can support me there. If I need someone to get the aesthetics and really take that, you know, bird's eye view of things, that's the right person. And that's what it's about, is having a team of people that right. can support you and see what you're doing well and how they can help you move
totally.
Forward.
No, it's kind of like a marriage in a way. I remember when mm-hmm. I first got married, and a friend said to me, I said, you know, we're having the same fight with my husband about something. And she's like, you have to let go of this notion that this one person can be everything to you. Mm-hmm. It's the same as that with a mentor. Like, your spouse can't do everything for you. They can't be, you know, yes, they can be your best friend and your spouse, but they can't be the same person you go to for everything, you know? So it's the same thing with a mentor, like this group of people that kind of helps you get through your days.
Oh, Courtney, I love that. I was speaking with someone today who was, she was so focused on wanting to have a mentor and knowing that a mentor would help her. And you couldn't have said it better, that it's one person is an amazing resource, and having a mentor is so helpful, but it takes a team of people and knowing who to go to for what and who can help you grow. And people are so willing to help, like I said earlier. And
yeah.
So it's really amazing. Yeah. I love that.
Well, sometimes too, you don't want to keep going to the same person with the same thing. Like, mm-hmm. I don't want them to get sick of me every time. This is the 50th email you've helped me write.
Exactly. You have to spread it out a little bit.
Yeah.
You said it. So when you think about advice that you've received from your mentors or people, what stands out in your career, a helpful piece of advice or lesson?
One lesson I think I really found, and I don't know so much if this was a mentor that showed me, but just I found like really ask for what you want because someone, you know, the people aren't sitting around. I mean, yes, some people are really great and you have these mentors that will come to you and give you ideas, but you really need to say to them, like, here's what I'm after. Here's what I'm looking for.
Right.
And can I do this? And if I can't now, what space do I need to be in to be able to do that? And that's something that I used to tell people that I worked with who would work under me. Tell me what you think you want. What is your end goal here? And you may not, I mean, as I said before, I didn't always know my end goal, but even in a specific job, like I remember being at InStyle and what I really wanted was to write a feature that we had called Man of Style. Mm-hmm. And I thought like, oh, my writing chops aren't up yet. I don't know what I'm doing. I had taken this writing course and really enjoyed it. And I just said to the editor of that section, I said, what do I need to do to be able to write this? Great. I didn't know you wanted to write one. Suddenly I would write them and I would come back to him and I would, you know, I would not get to do all of them, but I here and there he would give them to me and that was really great. And then I as well eventually said, you know, I want to edit a page. When can I edit this page? So it's really just speaking up and saying, here's something that I want. How are we going to make that happen? And if I'm not ready yet, what do I need to do to get to that place to be ready?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. One thing I say a lot is we have to help people help us because mm-hmm. they are so willing to help. But if you say like, I'm looking for a job, I'd do anything. I hear right. that sometimes. And like, you wouldn't really do anything. and if you say that you'd do anything, it doesn't give people a thing to grab and say, oh, you know, Courtney wants this job in magazines where she's booking celebrities. I didn't think this existed, but, you know, she said that's what she wanted. And then that job was there and the person could see it.
Right.
So that, I mean, that was an amazing way that you helped them help you.
Right, right. Yeah, no, yeah, definitely.
And asking for what you want. I love that.
Especially in the beginning of your career when you're first starting out. Like, I remember being an assistant. My best friend and I were assistants together, and we didn't really know, you know, like, I didn't really even know which way was up a lot of the time because mm-hmm. it was all new to me. But then when you start learning things and saying, like, hey, how can I do that? What can I get out of the situation? Like, your bosses sometimes, especially at that lower level as assistants, they just need to get their stuff done. They're not necessarily mm-hmm. looking out to kind of help you every day mm-hmm. and to, you know, take advantage of that and say, how can I make, you know, I'm not going to be here forever. So what skills am I going to take to my next job and how can I figure that out?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So tell me, what were like the highlights of your career that you've had? I know the best might be yet to come. The best is always
yet to
come.
I really hope.
but what are some things you look back and you think, wow, that was something I'm really proud of?
Yeah. I mean, I really, you know, when I talked about traveling on the show, I really loved that. And not that that was so exciting. It was just really fun to get to travel to really cool places. I mean, I've done super cool things like going to the Academy Awards. That's mm-hmm. really, there's nothing like that when you're kind of walking the red carpet and you look over and you think like, wow, I'm standing next to an Oscar nominee. Mm-hmm. Like, this is really cool. Stuff like that is really fun. Going to different celebrities' houses to interview them and putting them on the cover. I think that that's a lot of fun, but it's more, to me, the ones that have kind of stuck with me a little bit more is like I interviewed Jamie Lee Curtis. She was on the cover for Good Housekeeping and I actually did the interview as well and was there for the photo shoot. And I just loved her because she was really inspiring as far as she was writing a children's book at the time. So here mm-hmm. she was, this great actress who had done all of these amazing things, but she also was writing a children's book. And she was very, just the amount of kind of feedback and the information and the lessons that she wanted to teach, I found that very inspiring. Mm-hmm. And I liked it as well because it's just, you know, in addition to booking someone for a cover, it's writing the story and kind of telling a story. Mm-hmm. That I really like. We did an interview with Shonda Rhimes.
Oh, wow.
And I liked her a lot. And I found her so inspiring. I found everything that she said was this little jewel of a nugget mm-hmm. that you wanted to hang on to. Mm-hmm. And I really got a lot out of her. And she, after the story came out, she sent me flowers, which I just thought was so classy and so nice. And it's just that whole pay it forward, say thank you. So, you know, I mean, I thought it was that doesn't happen often. And that was really nice.
No. And what an impact, like little right. things that you don't think about
right.
makes such an impact. Checking in with people that you're thinking about, you can do something a little more than just thinking about them and sending them a text and say, I'm thinking about you. I hope
right.
you're having a great day. Like, oh, how fun is it to get that text or have that little acknowledgement? It goes a long way.
Right, right. And I need to do that more often. Yes, putting that on my to-do list.
There you go. I follow up a person who talks a lot about networking, and she always says, you know, the first three people you think about in the morning, drop them an email. And it's so nice. And I try to be in the habit of doing it because it's like you start your day or you do this gratitude thing. Mm-hmm. You're saying, I'm grateful for you. What, even if that's not the words that you're using,
right,
it's a way to check in on someone and make them feel good and you feel good in the process.
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah. So tell me, if you, as you look back, is there any turn that you didn't take that you think was there and you wished you'd looked at?
That's a good question. No, I mean, no, nothing that sticks out. I mean, I would love to be able to say I'm someone who never lives with regret, but I don't know that that's totally true. But I don't know necessarily. I mean, I guess some of the regret in my life is bigger things, like having not gone to a certain wedding or, you know, that I missed out on, like, you know, lifetime regrets like that. But nothing, I don't necessarily think there's been a job that I wish I would have taken that I didn't. No, I think that that hasn't really... I don't think so.
You don't have a career as a veterinarian or something like lingering?
No. I mean, as you and I have talked about, clearly this whole teaching thing always comes up, that maybe I should have been a teacher, but I don't.
I think, so Courtney and I talk a lot about her search and, you know, the things that have gone really well in her career and the things that she likes to do. And like you said, teaching comes up a lot. And I think that there's so many ways to teach people that isn't in front of a classroom of 8-year-olds, right?
Right.
So we
right.
look at, we like, I think of myself as a teacher in a lot of ways when I'm coaching people and I get to get in front of people and give presentations. So it's looking at the thing you really like and seeing how you can teach someone some aspect of that.
Well, I guess in a way that's kind of the video podcast is teaching someone. Like, it's teaching people who are looking for a pivot, who are looking for something else. Like, here's what this is. That is, I guess, a form of teaching. So...
Absolutely.
I guess that kind of checks that box.
Yeah, yeah. You're showing people that there's this thing you can do that you never even imagined
right.
was out there.
Yeah.
Wow. So I have to ask, as we wind down our time together, can you share with us some of your super fun or crazy celebrity stories?
I mean, I think some of my crazier ones would probably be, like, not as... would be not as fun. So I once interviewed James Franco. He was doing the back page of our magazine for InStyle magazine, and I had just come back from maternity leave, and he could only do it at like 8 a.m. on a Sunday morning. I remember getting everything in order, thinking like, okay, I've got the child fed, my husband's taking care of him, we're doing all of this. I'll call really early, just switched everything around just so I could make it work. And we got on the phone, and he was just not a nice person, and he You know, he just seemed like he was better than everyone else. He was just being rude. He wouldn't answer the questions. I was really trying to throw him every bone, and he just was not being nice. And I, you know, was just putting my nice reporter hat on of like, okay, well, we'll go ahead and I'll just, you know, kind of power through this and make it work. And eventually they ended up stopping the interview, and I always kicked myself later. And I think what I learned from it was is that I didn't have to be rude, but I could have stood up for myself and just kind of said, you know, like, thank you so much, but if this isn't your thing, that's fine. Let's just go ahead and end this, which mm-hmm. is what ended up happening. But I always look back and think, like, I should have just stood up for myself. Mm-hmm. And then I was worried to tell my boss, like, this didn't go well. And his initial reaction was, oh, my gosh, we're not going to do anything else with him. We're over him. Mm-hmm. And I thought, like, how great to have that support and to know and to trust your gut and to realize, like, I didn't have to be mean to him, but I didn't have to be so ingratiatingly nice. I could have just said, this isn't working and thank you so much.
Mm-hmm. That's a great lesson because we've talked about your career and all the great things that have happened, right? And you get to work with celebrities and you have this cool travel, fun life, and it's so easy for us to glamorize everything, right?
Oh.
Like Courtney was my guest today and she's perfect. Thank you for tuning in.
Yeah,
right? And we're not. And
yeah.
And that's okay too. And you were starting to share a story with me before we went on the air today about like a big scary career moment where you thought maybe you weren't gonna be able to continue with a job.
Yeah. So I maybe was a year in at Paramount and we had a premiere for Varsity Blues. And at the premiere party, or it was actually at the screening. So a job of the assistants would take jobs of just kind of like walking people into the theater and showing them where their seats were. Someone had sat in the seats for the head of the studio. And he was not happy that someone had sat in his seats. So the woman who kind of headed up our premieres and all of that said to me, you need to go ask them to move. I don't care how you get them to move, but I need you to get them out of those seats.
Mm-hmm.
I very nicely said to him, here's what we need you to do. You know, we got them in different seats. Everything was fine. The head of the studio did not like that they had been moved and said to this woman, who is that? And you need to fire her because I didn't want her to move those seats.
Yes.
And I don't think I realized what a big deal it was, but we... the screening started, we all left to go to get ready for the after party and get everything situated. And my actual boss came over to me and said, you know, we're just going to have you go ahead and go home tonight. I know that was a bad situation, but we're just going to have you go ahead and go home. And I thought, well, that's strange. You know, it was a big deal, but I don't think I realized what a big deal it was. So I get home and he calls me later that night and he said, all right, I think everything is okay. We're just going to kind of lay low tomorrow. And that's when it kind of hit me of, you think everything's okay? Like, oh,
I can't come in tomorrow.
Yeah, maybe I can't come in. Maybe this is a big deal. And I got there the next day and they said, and unfortunately the head of the studio, he didn't know all the assistants. You know, there were a bunch of blondes running around and, you know, another friend of mine always jokes. She said, oh, he always thinks it's me because he always gives me the crook eye every time he walks by. Because,
oh, no.
You know, and I think it was a difficult position to be in because the person who ran the premieres said to me, and, you know, she was essentially not my boss, but she was one of the heads of our department. And she said, you need to ask this person to move. And I did what my boss had told me, unbeknownst to me, that the head of the studio did not want this to happen. And it really, you know, you're in such between a rock and a hard place. Like, I was doing what I was told and was asked to do, and that's not what he wanted. And it was, you know, difficult that I remember my boss said to me, he said, you know, the great thing is he said, she'll always be on your side now. You kind of, you know, took one for the team, you took one for her. And she's, you know, never going to be able to give you a hard time about this. And I just...
Wow, isn't that interesting?
Yeah, yeah.
I wouldn't have thought of it that way.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So, I mean, it worked out. I didn't have to go home. But as I said, like, he always kind of gave the crook eye to this other woman that I think he thought was me.
So you dodged a bullet.
Yeah, yeah.
On that
but
one.
It is funny, though. I remember when I first started working at a studio and I had not lived in L.A. very long, and there's that movie Swimming with Sharks.
Mm-hmm.
And have you ever seen the movie?
I don't think
so. It's just like a crazy assistant movie, and like they, you know, I can't even remember who it's supposed to be based off of, but how the entertainment industry is so scary and everyone yells and they're crazy. And I thought, oh, because it wasn't really like that for me thus far. But that was my real experience of like, yes, it can get pretty crazy. Like people can get kind of, you know, someone was just sitting in their seat. Growing up in Arizona, like, big deal. You move the seats.
Right.
In the entertainment industry, like, no, you do not.
Yeah.
That is not what happens.
Yeah. So a lot of people come to LA and they don't stay. Like, something happens and they just don't make it, or they do have that screaming boss, or the entertainment industry isn't what they thought it would be. Was there ever a point where you thought maybe it wasn't for you?
I mean, I kind of always think like there are definitely crazy stories like the one that I just told you, but I have to think that in any industry, there's got to be someone at the top, maybe not even at the top, who thinks that they are the celebrity and you have to kind of cater to them. So that's what I've always kept in the back of my head is like, you're going to find this anywhere. There's going to be crazies anywhere, or people with kind of a very dictatorship way to run things.
Yeah.
I think, no, so I don't know that I've... You know, it's interesting because being at a studio and then being over in magazines, like, it's within the industry, but not as much. So I think I've sidestepped it a little bit, but I guess that's still who I'm dealing with. But no, there are absolutely times. I remember a time when I was locked in my closet with my child outside trying to talk to me, and I was literally in tears because someone was yelling at me about a cover story. And I'm thinking, like, really, does this still happen? So there are times when it kind of like breaks you a little bit, and then you realize, like, this isn't what matters. This is ridiculous. This is a cover story that will be someone's, you know, trash tomorrow.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
So yeah.
Yeah. I always try to say, we don't work in a hospital.
Right.
You know, and most of us don't. And
right.
It's not a life or death situation, but it sounds like you've been really good about keeping that perspective and not taking things too very personally.
Yeah. Not to get sad, because this isn't sad, but my son has had multiple brain surgeries. He's fine, but he has a shunt in his head. So, you know, people always say, like, it's not brain surgery. And I can really say, like, no, it's really not. Like, we've sat outside of brain surgery, and this is really not brain surgery. And not to say that doesn't keep me from being in the closet crying when someone's yelling at me, but there are times when, you know, you just have to think, like, this will blow over. And that, I think, I've learned so much, too. Like, something that seems like the biggest deal at the time, as you get older, you realize, like, this is a big deal, and I'm going to definitely give it that big deal credit, but it's not going to break me. This isn't going to be the end thing. Like, this will be a story that I will most likely forget most of the details in a couple of days from now.
But it might be a good one for a dinner party.
Right?
in a few years.
Yeah.
Well, gosh, this was so fun, and I really appreciate you sharing your perspective and information about your career, and we can't wait to hear the podcast in a few months, hopefully.
Yes, yes.
So I'll share again. So the podcast is called Walk a Mile, and my guest today was Courtney Pelletieri, and it was a pleasure to have you on the show, and I hope we'll have you back soon.
Thank you so much.
Thank
it was great.
You. Have a good day.
You too.
You're listening to Get Yourself the Job with Jennifer Hill, only on LA Talk Radio.